The City of Angels is black and gold. You are listening to the Heart of LAFC podcast. And now, Joseph Zacher.
Greetings, Los Angeles. Welcome to episode 348 of the Heart of LAFC podcast. That's right. We're calling this one Gaining Strength for very obvious reasons as we gain strength on our way to Orlando. Getting ready, streaking, making it happen. North End looking strong, team looking strong, everybody getting healthy. It's all the right things coming into place. Of course, not only are we going to celebrate those wins, we're going to talk about a few other things happening within the LAFC universe. Tony's on, Araceli's on, Bam is on, but on the road, so we'll definitely hear from him a little bit as he's traveling safely, of course. But that's it. That's the crew. We've got everybody here. I know we missed you guys for a couple weeks. Game on. We're back. Looking forward to it. Let's make some noise and make it happen. Tony, how are you doing, sir?
Doing pretty well. Sorry for the last episode. I kind of got lost in the shuffle because of, again, we haven't done a crazy like week-to-week game again. And like I just got a miscommunicated of what time our podcast is. So I apologize to everyone for not showing up for that one. But doing pretty well. Excited that we are finally second place after the last game with Minnesota. Minnesota. So we're fully in second place. A chance at Supporters Shield a little bit with games in hand, and also a chance for just first. Let's just get to the first part, which is getting the top of the Western Conference, and then go for Supporters Shield, and then U.S. Open Cup, and then we have to talk about Leagues Cup when that comes around too.
Oh, adding in all the other tournaments where we might lose some players. It's getting wild. That's for sure. Getting good though. It's seven games now in a row. I mean, earlier this year, could you imagine this squad doing with what they have? It's pretty good. It's beautiful to see. It's nice to see Olvera finding the net, Bwanga finding the net consistently. Things are gelling just in time for our superstar when he gets here during Leagues Cup. Our other superstar, I should say. But yes, it's working. Of course, Araceli has been beyond busy in these last few weeks as well. Araceli, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, and I'm actually only going to get even busier come next week with Copa America being in town. I mean, overall, just been really good. Obviously, very busy with work because, as you guys know, with MLS Next Pro, we really don't get an international break like MLS. So it's just been consistent on the go. But hey, at the end of the day, can't really complain on it. We already knew that this summer was going to be a very busy one. And of course, come next month, it's just going to get cranked up even 10 times that. So brace yourselves. I will say that much. But otherwise, everything's just been going good on my end.
Yeah, it's crazy times. It is the summer of football. There is no doubt about that. I mean, those of you who love the Euros and also love watching Copa America, the boys and I were goofing off about this earlier, basically saying our day will start at 6 and games won't end until about 9. Add in some MLS games. Maybe we're going to be actually at a game. Yeah, we aren't going to be home till 11 p.m. and then next day, 6 a.m., let's go again, another Euro match. So it's going to be a crazy 3 weeks now? Yeah, it's going to be fun. Of course, Euros start on Friday, so let's go for that too. Bam, I hope you can hear us clearly on the road. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. Can keep loud and clear. I may drop out because looks like I'm going into some bad weather as I'm heading home because it is winter over here, so we've got that wonderful... It's going to be 20 degrees. Next minute, it's 2 degrees and raining and windy and cold and Melbourne weather.
Hey, welcome to winter. That's how it should be. We know that. But I like when you say the lowest could be 2. Again, not below freezing. That's a beautiful thing.
Yesterday would have been, I think, when I woke up, it was about 0 degrees Celsius. So that was nice.
That'll do. All right, there we go. Well, you be safe, sir. Stay on while you can. We totally get it if you have to check out. All right, so let's get into this, guys. Gaining strength, looking good. We had two matches that we weren't able to cover with you guys. Tony and I were at those games, of course, doing our thing. Araceli was covering LAFC 2 in the process. So we've got you guys covered for those. I think we're going to do a quick recap of those before we talk about the next match, community news, and all that today. Yeah, a couple things to cover. So I'm going to go to you, Tony, first. I think the first game was, what, the Minnesota match?
Yes.
Of course, we got a 2-0 win in this game, right? And looking pretty good with Bwanga and Bogus doing Bogus things. A good result. So I'll throw it over to you, man. Big chances, big moments.
Honestly, we'll just go with, of course, Bwanga putting in the penalty early on, and then we should have ran away with that game earlier, but unfortunately we couldn't put away the goals. But we did get what should have been the goal of the week. Unfortunately, it got robbed with a certain player from Miami. Again, it was a shocker. I remember being up there and being like, what just happened? I had to rewatch it to rewatch this goal because it was literally a banger from outside the box, like way outside the box. Also, the lead up to that play, the passing was also immaculate as well. So it was kind of, you know, overall everything about it. And we ended up going, you know, beating Soda, which we needed to do to keep, you know, to keep us slowly but surely gaining strength to go up into the higher spots into the standings in the Western Conference and also overall for Supporter Shield. So those were the highlights. Again, it was just a overall great moment. You know, we have games in hand and stuff like that. So that's pretty much it for that one.
Yeah, and I will say this in terms of lineup changes and what we were talking about, Duaneus did get the start in this game. Played a very good game. I think very impressive in terms of that goal from Bogus. The passing and the distribution, I think, were the story as much as the goal was, because it did start with Lloris, right? And distributing properly. Again, that was what we've wanted to see from them from day one, and it actually played itself out in front of all of us. Like that's LAFC football. You know, that's I think what we wanted to see, right? Played out of the back, done properly. Don't waste too much time. Get the job done. Beautiful, perfect. It made Minnesota, who is the best road team in the league, look pretty ordinary on the day and not all that threatening. Let's be real. Very good on our end. Good display. I think better than anybody expected under the circumstances, knowing who was out of that lineup. Now, moving forward. The next game, of course, was against Dallas. A little bit tighter. 1-0 win. A late goal by Bwanga. I believe the 74th minute. Against a struggling FC Dallas team who now has fired their manager after the fact. It was hard to break them down for very obvious reasons if you watch the game, seeing how they organized their back line with Gonzalez basically doing everything and coaching from the field. But it took us time and we did figure that one out. Tony, big moments for you in that game?
Honestly, the biggest moment besides the goal was just the overall how aggressive Dallas was. They were pretty chippy, you know what I mean? It was a very chippy game. It was very, like, the referee was letting play go, so that's how the game was going to go. So Dallas realized they can get away with a little bit more harder fouls, stuff like that. Cards were given, but it was still a hard-fought game. Another stressful game, but at the end of the day, we were still able to respond to their tactics and put away the goal. With Bwanga, but it was a very hard-fought game. We ended up with the 3 points, and then, you know, puts us directly into second place in the Western Conference.
You know, and it's not like we weren't producing in that game. We went 19 shots, 9 on target. We were still always there, right? In the mix, they're going to allow that last-second stuff, the last boot in the play, the last deflection in the play. It was hard because of the way they made themselves compact. Again, still broke them down, still got the job done. To me, I was very happy with the lineup that we had now that, you know, Sanchez was back. Long and Chanot did the part, let's be honest. And Campos, I know we've been pretty negative with him at times. Let's be honest, I think he's found himself. He's looking more and more comfortable with each game. Tony, do you think he's past the rough patch?
I think he finally got past the rough patch again. It was like, this is an opportunity to show, you know, to come back into the game and come back into what we saw him do in the beginning. You know, of course, there's still a lot more questions moving forward. We can't just, like, again, the snow game is a very forgettable game, but we can't also forget that most of those goals were caused because of him on that one. So there's still, again, young player, a lot of potential. So we'll still a lot to watch with him, but it's high hopes for him as well.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But you know, there were some other games, but it's looking better. And of course, Hollingshead's now back. He's good to go. We saw him feature a bit in these games. He took a bad hit in the Dallas game. Pretty dirty. I think he was on for maybe 2 minutes and they leveled him. But you know, he gets back up, keeps fighting, all good. Araceli, with the wins, with the string of wins, what are your thoughts so far on the season? Is this what we should be expecting from them, or are they overachieving at this point?
I think that we should always be expecting a good result, whether if it's a draw or a, you know, a solid win. But I like to see that it feels like LAFC is getting back to that pace that we're used to, considering how the beginning of the season started off. So I just hope, you know, how I've kind of said in the past shows, that they just keep this momentum going, especially entering a very summer-heavy schedule, or tournament-heavy schedule, I should say.
Yeah, where we might be losing, you know, players down the line. Remember, there's also Olympics coming up. I know, and then League's Cup after that. Busy, busy times for everybody. And of course, international call-ups are what they are. We've had a few take the trip here during this break, hurrying them back in time to play. Bwanga did feature for his national team, and he got a goal and assist last time I checked. So he's doing what he's got to do. I think the other funny thing that we saw with the international break, not really a break, but whatever, we had Chanot versus Giroud. That was pretty cool to see. That was nice. Of course, our alum Max Crepo, under the leadership of Jesse Marsh with Canada, managed to get a tie against France as well and shut out Giroud. So that's interesting if you're looking at kind of the past names and current names doing what they need to do out there. So interesting to see where things are going, who's going to end up featuring at these tournaments. On our end, again, we have a lineup at this point that could handle, I think, what we're under, where other teams would struggle a lot more than us, in truth. Tony, anything else we want to cover in terms of the update and what's going on in with the team before we move on to the community news?
Not just, again, Giroud, again, with his finals in Europe, getting his last hurrah. Still looking great, so it's very much. And then, of course, I'll mention this not just because it's LAFC news, but it's more going to be the rivalry of what can be San Diego is we're going to see Chucky at San Diego. They finally announced him, and that's their first DP. And again, still no word on Vela and where he's going. Rumor has it he might retire, but again, it's been a weird, as me and you have been talking about it, a weird send-off for him, where he could have just, you know, if he would have just said goodbye at the end of the season last year, like, we won the cup, we went back to the finals, and that's all I could do, all I could have done, then it would have been a fine. But this limbo of I'm coming back, I'm not coming back kind of thing has kind of been like a very like blah moment for such a great career with LAFC.
It's really odd. And of course, you hear the comments from family members about, well, if he's in, he's in, he's out, he's out, like this wishy-washy kind of a vibe. And I find it hard to know that. I think he's working out. I think he's training. He's still trying to keep himself relevant. How can it be so wishy-washy, right? It's really odd. And if he did walk off, you know, as a hero, we'd be talking about a statue at this point. Instead, we're talking about signing him and being like, where's he going to go? What's he going to do? All that we know, guys, all that, you know, I think for us on the chatter has been that it's not over. It's not over. It could still happen, which is as bizarre as it gets. It could still happen. There's zero resolution on this one. We're just kind of wait and see. At the same time, let's be honest, on the field, the boys have moved on. The boys have definitely moved on. I think the early days was that hard adjustment of who do we look to, right? He's the guy, right? Who do we look to? And they couldn't figure that out in the early part of the season. But now with the lineup, they know their leaders. They know the guys to look to. They know the guys that are going to create something flashy and something special. And they're starting to make their own name, to be honest. So does he fit anymore with what they're doing is the big conversation at this point. How would he help? And when Giroud comes to town, where does he fit? Well, Vera, who's now finding the net, you kick him loose. It's tough. It's really tough to see. Or, you know, we still have a DP slot last time I checked. Is there another star coming? It's really weird. But the door apparently is kind of open. He hasn't closed it all the way. I guess that's the best way to look at it. Araceli, if we were going to throw a wager out there, where would you put it for Vela coming back?
I really do not see him coming back at this point, because if he was serious about coming back to the team, we would have heard something by now. And I hate to downgrade him and saying that the only relevancy he has left is because of his wife, kind of keeping us all updated about his whereabouts lately. And even his nephew, Cristo Vela, who was a prominent figure for Austin FC too, kind of went down a similar path where there was almost radio silence. You didn't really know about his whereabouts until about, I believe it was 2 weeks ago, that he signed with Cancun FC. So he's back in Mexico. So I'm kind of curious if Carlos will take the same path as his nephew. I don't necessarily see him doing that, but it does kind of make me wonder, because kind of given the timeline and the way of things, it feels like they were following similar paths. That might be a stretch, but given that it's already going to be July very soon and there's no inkling of Vela, I think it's fair to say his time with LAFC is over.
Yeah, it's really odd. The other thing I was thinking, of course, he's got little ones, right? If there is school, if there's anything like that, of course, waiting till the summer would be the wise time to make a hard decision, right? If you are going to move, you don't want to uproot the family as things are going on, right? That could be it as well. We got to stretch this out, get to the summer, then we'll figure things out. That might be what's going on here. Do I see him going to any other MLS team? No, I think he's that kind of player that simply retires after this. I have one team that I like to play for. If that's not the team, I'm happy where I'm at. I think that's probably the Vela vibe at this point. And he does like it here, so I don't think he's in a hurry anyway. All right. From the bizarre to the happy, we did miss previewing and celebrating a lovely Pride match, an awesome TIFO, a cool parade this weekend that so many joined in on. We didn't get to even preview any of that, but hey, we're here now talking about it and how awesome it was. And I'll go to you, Tony. 10 out of 10 on the TIFO?
Yeah, it was really done well, like, you know what I mean? Best way to just bring it up. I honestly kind of think it was the better TIFO of what I've seen so far out there. It's just been like, some of them have been like half-assed and stuff like that, but of course we don't do anything like halfway. So the TIFO was done brilliantly. Like, again, the pride game is always a very soft spot for me. One, because it was my very first LAFC game, which was the Freddie Mercury game. So it's always like got me into this madness. And, you know, of course we're celebrating just love and unity with whatever whatever you want to be and whatever what you want to love and everything. So it's just inclusion. And that's the best part of it. And that's what LAFC stands for. And that's what we stand for, anyone that stands for, you know what I mean? Just inclusion.
Taking a strong stand and honestly, Juan Gabriel, I think it was fun. It was cool. It goes along with that Freddie Mercury theming of the music, of the sound, of really what unites us, right? That's what we do in the North End. We sing, we make noise, we throw some rhythm into it. It's just a good fit. It was a good fit. It was a lot of fun on the day. Shout out to everybody involved. It was
shout out stuff. To Pride for getting everything together for that. Yeah.
They stepped up big time to make it happen. So Pride Republic, you know, shout out to all of you and the work that you put in, because it worked. It looked great. Well done on everybody who volunteered for it. Now, in terms of community, sir, do we have anything else that we need to cover this week for community news? Yes, there are it's a road match, right?
Yeah.
So we got to cover that. We got watch parties. What is going on, sir?
So of course we have watch parties for the upcoming game against Orlando. For right now is what has been released. And, I've seen is, Lucky's at Amor y Tequila at 224 East 3rd Street, Santa Ana. Expo de Disto Cartorce at 1837 First Street, Los Angeles, California. And then Black Army, of course, is back at Mount Low Brewing Co. at 150 East Street, in Arcadia, or Joseph, if I remember right. It's 150 East Joseph Street, because I remember it's always...
That was it. Yeah,
yeah, that was like
Street in Arcadia.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
So besides that, of course, I know it's early. I know it's kind of early for us to talk about it, but it's kind of prepped us to get into this. Rose Bowl game is coming up, so make sure you secure your ticket for that one if you can, if you're planning on going. It's gonna be the same thing. Fireworks gonna be there after the game. I would suggest, if you don't want to pay the $50, maybe now $60, who knows how much parking is nowadays because they've bumped up a lot, park outside in Pasadena, find one of the parking structures and go on the bus that gets you into the Rose Bowl and then takes you out. So it's a quick, easy way, and you don't have to deal with traffic too much.
Pretty much that's the vibe. Mm-hmm. I am now actually going to be going, so you know you'll see me there. I would say go early, if there is a caravan, join it. Mm-hmm. You stay amongst LAFC fans in the sea of madness, because it is another road match. We did get cheated yet again this year, where they get 2 years in a row of having the second home game, because you know we've kind of leveled the playing field here in terms of the standings. I don't know. Cash grab, whatever. We'll still be there. We'll still do our thing, and we will preview that properly. Otherwise, you know how we are in this place. We don't talk about those guys unless we're previewing to play them, because
or just chatting
talk about them. Nobody does, let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll leave it at that. Now, the other thing going on, of course, I know LAFC 2 didn't have such a great situation. I hate talking about it because it didn't go so great. But Araceli, I'm just going to throw it to you. What happened with LAFC 2?
Well, I'm actually going to start off with the roster movements, because we have had a few player movements in the last few weeks. Of course, as we all know, Tommy Musto signed a first team contract with LAFC. Leonardo Flores, who we originally had on loan from Tigres, was officially signed to Atlas FC. And Luca Bambino was called up to the US YNT U19 training camp in Argentina, which actually ended yesterday. So he should be returning to LA, to LA very shortly. But yes, unfortunately, LAFC 2 is currently on a 2-game losing streak after falling to North Texas and Vancouver. Both they fell 4-0. However, prior to those games, they did defeat the current reigning MLS Next Pro champion, Austin FC, in their home 2-1. So there's some good news there. But this week, the boys actually have a bye week, so they will have a chance to regroup, to rest. Their next match being on Sunday, June 23rd, at Titan Stadium, when they host the town, aka Quakes 2. It's a 7:00 kickoff. The match will be streamed on the site. And as I've said before, you know, I highly recommend everyone go check them out, because as you see, there's a lot of movement with these players. We have Tommy and Mueller now with the first team. Personally, I would like to see Mueller come back to LAFC 2 if Dolo is not utilizing him, because I haven't really seen him enter the last few matches, unless I'm wrong. But I like to...
Limited minutes.
Yes.
Yeah,
you know, very limited minutes. But I like to see him get more time on the field, even if that's with LAFC 2. Because we've seen Tommy come back for the last two matches, even on Hell for the game against North Texas. So kind of curious of what's going on with Mueller, but regardless, the season's already 14 weeks in. As you know, it's a significantly shorter season than that of MLS. So LAFC is proving that they are taking the two team more seriously this season. At least that's how it appears to me.
Why do you think they took a 4-0 defeat two matches in a row? I mean, that's pretty hard scores.
No, they are definitely very hard scores. And when it comes to North Texas, I will say they are a very dominant team in the West. Based on the clips that I've seen of those matches, it was just silly giveaways, unfortunately. It was just not their week. I really don't have much more to say on that, because with Vancouver, I didn't have a chance to watch that game or to review it. But again, similar to North Texas, based on what I've seen, Vancouver is also another strong team, and they really challenged Ochoa. I know it's not the greatest breakdown, but that's what it ultimately comes out to.
Got you. Well, there's been some issues, which might explain our recent goalkeeper signing, maybe. Is that why that might be going on?
It's maybe. Potentially that. I am curious to hear your guys' thoughts on Hassel, because he is a player that I've been following for a while.
He's starter level too, right? Yeah. I mean, we've seen him play plenty of games as the starter. He can't be cheap. He came off like a $1.50 keeper. We got him pretty cheap, but it's not like he's a low quality goalkeeper. He should be an MLS regular, let's be honest. And in our team, there's a pecking order. Is he the guy that's going to bolster things at LAFC too? Be the guy that's with some of these younger goalkeepers when they have those games, just to be a presence for them? Maybe that's what's going on. Interesting. I don't know. I found it to be kind of an odd signing, I got to be honest, especially since our current backups seem to be doing okay. We have one that's helping us make an Open Cup run. Is he going to, you know, Romero, is he going to lose his spot in the Open Cup because of this signing? I think it just creates more questions than answers at this point. So I'm a little bit, I wouldn't say mystified, but I have questions, I think is the best way to say it. Aracel, I mean, what are you thinking? Is it maybe because there's a concern with the goalkeeping at number two?
I'm wondering if it's because of the goalkeeper pool that they have right now, because it seems Ochoa has been kind of taking the spot between the sticks for the last couple of weeks. So I'm just like you, you know, I'm very curious if it's to help alleviate him or alleviate Romero, or even give Lloris a break every now and then with the summer window coming up. But with Hassel, to me, he's always been high caliber. He's been a starter for the last two seasons, I believe, for Vancouver. Because if I remember correctly, I think we first saw him come on the scene like during the pandemic year for MLS's back. He was a third stringer at the time and kind of worked his way up to the starter, essentially, and has been that ever since. So I was kind of taken aback when I saw the signing, because getting a new goalkeeper is nothing new for them, but getting someone of that talent, I question it also.
Yeah, it's really, really, I mean, it to me, it sends a message to the other goalkeepers more than anything else. You know, our guys not stepping up where they're expecting in terms of development. So it's like, well, if you're not going to, this guy's ready-made, you know, and if we're going to make a run, because now we also have to add Leagues Cup into this mix. If we're going to make a run and you want LAFC2 to be competitive, is this how we're going to stabilize things? Because, I mean, he is a leader. He has a leadership quality to him. Could it be that guy that's going to go down to LAFC2 and rattle some heads? Or is he going to be the guy in warm-ups that's just – the ready, competent keeper that you could put in any time and not question it? Yeah. Probably answers both. Maybe that would be it. There's your thoughts. Tony, are you happy about the signing, or like everybody else, you kind of shrugged?
I was confused for a while because, again, it's like he signed to like the drop, and I was like, okay, who are we signing? It's international, and it's a goalkeeper, but it's like Romero's been doing really well. So, what is it, just because we need the third goalkeeper for the depth because of Ochoa is technically on two? So, on the roster, it's only those two. Again, very confusing. I know it's going to be rambling on, but it's a good signing. Maybe it's a future signing for something else moving forward. If Lloris gets injured or, you know, decides to retire early, which I don't see that coming up with a goalkeeper like that, but could be also Romero has a better offer coming up, upcoming that we don't know about or people are interested in him. Because, again, he is a really good goalkeeper, you know, so who knows?
Well, Ochoa, if he's found himself, we know what he's capable of, right? Could there be something there? Maybe we're going to make some moves. Could we make Romero, right, helping us to make other moves? But you bring another international, so that's rather interesting. So we'll leave it at that. I do know there's about 9 comments from you guys, and I usually hit you up earlier. You're on there now. Let's do this. Let's see what you guys think, especially after seeing the results with LAFC's top side and second side again. One is all sunshine, one's got a little bit of rain. Let's hear from y'all. Let's see who jumped on for today. We've got Dave saying, I'm so ready, y'all. Dude, we missed you too, man. We missed you too. Falcon is on as well. Hello, sir. Yo, Daniel Angel, he said, did anyone go to say what's up to Ilya today? I heard he had a pretty good showing. Yeah, I didn't get to go, but we love Ilya. It's one of the best people to talk to. Araceli will agree. If you want to talk about it, anything going on with your club, he's the guy. He's always up for a conversation. Right, Araceli?
No, Ilya is the best. I miss him, if I'm honest.
Yeah, no, he's cool, guys. He's definitely hit up a conversation. He's down for it. Junior's on here, my old friend. Does Bruce are into LAFC too? I don't know what Bruce is doing. Maybe he is going to Atlanta. I have no clue. But yeah, Bruce is an interesting fellow. That's for sure. Rostia Gons says, doesn't fit. Guys kicking butt. Yeah, I think he's talking about Vela here. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. Ox is on as well. Super late night. Straight out of Kansas, doing his thing. Says, just want to stop by and say hi. Hope all is well. We're doing good, man. We hope you're doing well as well. I know you're grinding, that's for sure. Dave says, time to move on from Carlos. He will forever be back in goal, but it's time to rip that Band-Aid. I think the guys have. On the field, they certainly have. I think the identity is now established. We have a new one. Yeah. Falcon. Thanks for bringing this one up. I know we haven't talked about it. We know it's coming. We've seen the leaks. LAFC third kit. Yeah. So that's something to talk about because we were thinking that would be something that might feature for, you know, 4th of July game, something like that. But yeah, we're supposed to have a third kit coming out. We'll see what happens with that. It had an Aztecs vibe from the leak that we saw. Hopefully that's the one, right? I'm good with that. Especially if you're going to go play at the Rose Bowl. We'll see. Daniel Angel, there we go, says, the Pride Parade was another success. Gets bigger and better every year. I recommend to everyone to come out, and even if you've never been to a Pride Parade before. It looked massive. The turnout looked great. So shout out to all of you that made it out there. I do owe a trip, that is for sure. Soccer USA says, how many goals will David Martinez end the season with? Depends on how healthy he is. But from what I understood, he's available. Yeah, he's no longer listed as injured anymore. He is greenlit. For those of us that went to one of the past matches, we actually did see him working out there and looking okay. So, yeah, as far as we know, he's got the green light. So, I'm hoping, honestly, I mean, it's going to be over 5, right? Maybe closer to 7. I think the assists are going to be even more fancy, but yeah. Tony, what do you think, man? And I know it's tough because where does he fit with all this talent that we have, but what are you thinking for Martinez?
We'll see how he comes back from his injury. It looks like it was, lower back injury from what it was actually reported. Again, there has been pictures circulating him of not babying that back, but again, he's young. It's be real. Yeah. Like as a young, you recover quickly. You do stupid things when you are younger that will probably injure yourself later if you did that when you're older. But if he's slotting in, I feel like he'll be a good depth piece in the future until he can mature and finally find his stride to maybe be a starter, depending on what happens next season.
Yeah, I think that the big story is the movement during this next offseason. Obviously, he's not one to move. He's one of the future, and it shouldn't be a starter by that time. With the back injury, it was real. It is real. From what we understood, it was pretty darn serious. If he was cleared to do normal activities, then he's cleared to normal activities. But, yeah, from what I understood, he's fine now. He's ready to go. But game shape is game shape, right? We'll see how that works out. Soccer, you say, should we loan out players? Yeah, I mean, maybe. I think with LAFC 2, it kind of gives us some flexibility, so we shall see. The loans are paying out now. We will say that, right? We did get some money for Buke, so Fall, not so much because he got hurt, but that's still a project. I still think we're going to make money off of him, so we'll see. We will see. Nice. Soccer USA says, any dark horse teams to worry about second half of the season? Thoughts on Carson? I know it's early to have thoughts on Carson. I will say this. Royce has not been confirmed. The rumor seems pretty darn strong. Okay. My question is, where does he fit? To me, in that lineup, what they present already, I don't see a big difference outside of disrupting whatever chemistry it is that they've created, because they do have chemistry now. Who sits for that guy? And defensively, how much of a liability is it to have him and Puig where they are on the field at the same time? And can he last more than 30 minutes to 40 minutes? Where is he physically coming into this? I think it creates more questions than answers on that end as well for them. Do I think they're making more moves? Yes, I do. I don't think they're done, but they're going to have to sell people too to make those moves. So for them, maybe, but I think we have a better story. And I think RSL, to me, is the better story. Is what are they going to do? I mean, they're already performing. They are the dark horse. I know they're first place. What do you mean dark horse? Did anybody rate RSL this year? Let's be honest. They didn't, but they're here.
I think they were rating them at a mid-level team, like, there for
playoffs.
Yeah, playoffs for sure, but not the season that they're having so far.
A supporter shield run. I don't think that was the prediction. That's for sure. You can't call us a dark horse because we are who we are. You go to the finals 2 years in a row. Sorry, you are the big dog in the West. That's just, you've won it the last 2 years. You are the favorite no matter what happens to you. You won it the last 2 years. You have a squad that you have. You are the favorite. Outside of that, yeah, let me look at the standings here. We've got Minnesota United. You all saw them and what they could offer. They've been racking other teams, but for us, I don't feel threatened. I don't feel threatened by the Galaxy at this stage, especially with Giroud coming to town. Then you got the Whitecaps. We seem fine there. I'm not fine paying $40 to watch them play, though. League's Cup, not cool. Austin FC, they're up and down. Houston Dynamo, another Jekyll and Hyde. So if I look at the West, who really stands out to me? We'll see who makes some moves here. Because there's teams that should have done better that aren't doing it. Seattle, one of those. We thought we'd see more from them this year, and then we haven't seen it yet. But for me, it's the big race, right? It's Real Salt Lake. It's us. Maybe the Galaxy. And Minnesota does still look good whenever they play anybody else. Those are your four. If I see anything, I think you're going to see separation between those four and the rest of the West. You'll finally see a break as we get farther down the line. I go to you, Tony. What do you think?
Honestly, it's all depending on what happens after this, like, A, the break from international, which we're going through right now, who's coming back for that? B, the Leagues Cup, which is going to be in the middle of it, and how that's a big tournament that's going to have a lot of maybe injuries, maybe a little, you know, soft, like, resting periods for certain players. And then, of course, the window when it opens, because they're, like you said, Galaxy's not confirmed with Royce. And again, that's the other one. But then it's like there's the rumor mill with them that bringing Lewandowski. Again, who knows about that one? But it's also, what are we going to do? But it's also, what is Salt Lake going to do, as you said? But there's a lot of mid-level teams that could just jump. Again, the West is so confined that anything can happen. Again, we were, out of the playoffs for most of the first part of the season to, okay, now we're in the middle of it, to now we're almost on top and fighting for a supporter shield spot. So
it's been 7 in a row, guys.
Yeah.
6 in terms of the league standings, but we're the hottest team in the league. I'm sorry. That's just what that means. Now, if you want to talk about Eastern Conference and teams, all that's chaos, man. I cannot
believe it.
What I know is Inter Miami is Inter Miami. If they keep adding more, they're going to have to change some rules here, which they might do. Cincinnati. Oh, my God. Right. Cincinnati's found themselves. They're going to be fine. New York City FC seems to be finding themselves. They look organized. They're fine. Red Bull, there's some spunk on that team. They seem to be that team that's going to shock people in the playoffs. They're going to make it. They'll be fine. They'll look absolutely normal. And then wreck everybody in the playoffs. That could be a run. Okay. Charlotte, Toronto, Columbus. Oh. I'm having Siri fun over here.
Nice.
All right, I'm going to jump over to you, Tony, because I'm having some weird technical difficulties for a second here. What do you think overall from the East?
The East, with your Siri, did you mention Columbus too, which is still a great team as well? You know what I mean? Because they're also, like, again, they unfortunately didn't win the Champions League or Campeones Cup, whatever it's called at this point in time. They've changed it so many times for, I don't even know. Ended up living to Puebla, and they're still in the running. Miami, of course, is going to do Miami things. The rumor, as I just mentioned, is Di Maria coming in, again, making new roles for that team, bringing in a combination of Real Madrid and Barcelona on that point, or just the Argentinian national teams, or Messi and friends team. The East is really hard to... Oh, and of course, Nashville. Nashville's always in there, you know what I mean? As much as they don't produce too much goals, but defensive-wise and everything they're doing outside is great. SKC, how is that going so far? All right, Sally, because I know you're more attached with that one and follow that more than we do.
Of course, you had to mention Sporting.
well, they're one of the legacy teams that have done well in the playoffs. They just need to get there, and then who knows which team shows up, and then they can make a run.
No, I mean, you're definitely right on that front, because it's a very similar story to last year, where Sporting lost, I believe it was like 10 games in a row, and then this year they lost about 7. Before defeating Seattle last week, which, in all fairness, Seattle hasn't been a strong opponent for anyone this year so far. But as far as like Sporting goes and seeing if they'll make another playoff run, I'm very doubtful on that, because they feel like they're too predictable now at certain points, especially with Vermees. If you listen to his press conferences and his answers, I don't think he's even in it anymore, honestly. So it's just a whole madhouse over here in terms of leadership, the coaching staff, the front office. So it's a weird time for Sporting. But speaking of the roster specifically, they still have a lot of strength, even though Daniel Salui is going to be out for a couple weeks due to injury. they still have a lot of firepower, especially with Alanis Vargas and Felipe Hernandez. So to see how they're utilized in the upcoming weeks will be a big telling factor if Sporting will be able to dig themselves out of this hole again.
Yeah, I think this might be the swan song for Mr. Vermees. As much as we love his history in this league and what he's done with the national team, yeah, I think his days are numbered. I think you're probably going to agree, right, Araceli?
Ownership has already come out and commented that they have no plans to get rid of him.
That's usually the kiss of death.
You would they think make a so, comment, but in the Sporting world, the type of chokehold he has with the club, I don't understand it, but I believe his contract is set to expire in 2027. And I think Sporting is willing to gamble than do pay out his contract.
Well, it doesn't, on that end, though, it does seem like the players are still sold on him, right? I mean, there's no grumblings, are there?
Eh. Maybe. It's a mess. I will say it as that.
Gotcha. So it's not one that we're going to call a dark horse. That is for certain.
They're not a dark horse at all. No, not of yet.
Speaking of dark horses and guys coming out of nowhere to get things done, Bam is on now. Let me get him on here. I know he's chomping at the bit to talk about some dark horses, the standings, and who he thinks is going to feature. Welcome back, Bam. How are you doing?
Not too bad. I made it home, but I do have to run out again in about 15 minutes. So let's hit this as quick as we can.
That's about all we got left anyway, so yeah. It's okay. Just in time for it. All right, so there you go, guys. Awesome comments again, Soccer USA. Dude, you're coming with the hard and heavy questions, and we love every little bit of it because you're asking the good ones, man. Good on you, sir. Good on you. All right, let's move on to it. I guess before we preview, we do have to talk Black and Gold Vinyl Club Minute. I can go 90s. I've been listening to Cake lately, Fashion Nugget, their first album. We could throw that up there for fun. They're coming to town to play a concert. So I've been hearing those guys. Of course, all you punk fans, y'all had fun at the festival this last weekend. So you all know what you want. But anybody else got one you want to throw in the mix?
I've got one that we could do. And I think
there we go.
The lyric is perfect for what's happened recently with America. A song by 10cc. Dreadlock Holiday.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
And the reason why I'm bringing that up is the chorus of it is, I don't like cricket. Oh, no. I love it.
Dude, world beaters, man. World beaters. That's all I can say. We took down Pakistan. In cricket? Really? There's only two places to run to, man. We can't deal with anything that doesn't have four. So it's a little different. And there's baseball in London. What is going on, Bam? This weird world that we live in.
I was waiting for the baseball to come back to Australia. Need a couple more games over here, and I'll be happy.
It should. All right. So, and 10cc is awesome, by the way. If you like Guy Ritchie movies, there's one where that features. I'll just throw that out there. Yeah, good stuff. Good choice, sir. All right, let's get this preview going here, guys. Yeah, Orlando City, another road trip. We were dreading these earlier in the year. I was like, oh gosh, we got to go on the road. It's going to get ugly. And then, you know, Atlanta happened and went, hey, wait, we can play on the road? Yeah, we can play on the road. And we play even better when we're on grass. And guess what happens in Orlando? It looks like grass, right? That might be okay. So, yes, we're going on the road to Orlando this weekend. 4:30 kickoff for us. Of course, Orlando's sitting on 17 points, 4-5-7 record. We are, of course, at 30 points, 3 points out of that first place spot. So let's do this. They haven't won in 3 straight games. They've been struggling. Only 1 win in the last 5. In those latest losses, they lost to Red Bull 1-0. They lost to Columbus Crew. Well, it is Columbus Crew, people. 2-0. And, of course, they did tie the Fire in those 3 games, which the Fire is Jekyll and Hyde right now, too. We don't know what to expect from those guys. We just expect changes. And what's weird is Chicago is actually spending money and still not getting it done. But We'll talk about them later, of course. So that's the Orlando situation. They should be doing better. I know some pundits said these guys were going to be threatening for a supporter shield before the season kicked off, and they're not looking that part. Yeah, it's an interesting lineup. It's an interesting setup. Of course, they're low in the table. I believe they're 5 points from bottom. Yeah, just trying to find themselves where, you know, where we're at. Goal difference wise, they're at a -8. They seem to have some production issues. If you look at their scores and who stands out, I'll throw this over to you, Bam. I think you can see it. Not a lot of names on the scores and assist list, are there?
No, there isn't. They haven't been doing that great with all that kind of stuff. They get into some decent positions, but that's as good as they get. A top scorer is obviously Duncan Maguire with 5. Nicholas Lodrio has 5 assists, and that's all there really is to it. Not scoring.
He does have 6 in total. But
6 in total?
Yeah, for a big name player like him, that ain't it, right?
No, definitely not. When you look at them, what the goal difference is -8 right now, so.
Yeah, it's brutal. In terms of assists, there's only 3 players that have more than 1 assist. It's bad. Again, your top scorer's only got 5 on the year. And then if you go down the list and it only gets to, 4 guys. Well, everyone below him has got 2 goals. And then you get down to the 8th spot. Oh, yeah, no one else has scored. There's only 8 guys that have actually put one in the net. There's some issues on the front end for these guys. I wouldn't say the back end is an issue because, again, they're only -8 under the circumstances, but there's a power outage up top. That's what we're seeing. You're seeing the scores. They don't get embarrassed. They're just not getting it done. And if you watch the games, they look competitive. They look legit. They look like they should be putting some balls away here, and they're just not. It's been trying for these guys. Arisola, have you had a chance to take a look at Orlando City so far? What are your thoughts on these guys?
I mean, very much of what you said. They have the firepower on the roster, even after dipping into their secondary team with Jack Lynn and Yotaro Sugata. Excuse my mispronunciation of his name, but he made his MLS debut in late May. Very strong left winger, especially with the secondary team. So to see him move up to the first team was great for him. And Jack Lynn, I believe he scored 2 goals for Orlando so far this season. Whereas on the next pro level, from 2022 to last year, I believe he scored like 34 goals. So, I mean, I don't know what type of roster they've been putting out the last couple of games, but I am hoping those 2 names will appear more frequently given their talent. So if they are on roster for this match, they could be a little problematic for LAFC. But again, that's all just guessing.
Well, Jack Lynn was the substitute for Torres in the last game. So he did get into the match. It seems like they both get minutes. The funny part about Orlando is they're very much on the front foot in their approach to the game. They play a 3-1-4-2. So they throw numbers forward, right? And they try to get you on the flanks and bring the ball back in. They're looking at what Maguire and Torres as their target guys to get the job done. And Maguire has produced. Torres, I got to be honest, I think he's underperforming. I think that's an issue, right? But behind him, again, you have Ladera and Angulo as your creative midfielders with Torhalsson and Santos as your outside midfielders. Again, front foot, right? And then Araujo trying to control things in the midfield, right? Dropping back. And your 3 center backs, right? Holding it down. Last match was Cartagena, Brekalo, and Schlegel. Game before that, Cartagena, Brekalo, Janssen, right? And in that game, of course, was a 3-4-2-1. So basically, it almost looked like a 3-4-3 when it was all said and done. Again, holding the 3 center backs, keeping other guys popping up, and Thorlesen and Torres will drop back, of course. if they need so. So it definitely there. It's kind of like the way we approached Atlanta. It's kind of where they're approaching the game at this point. It's not producing yet, though. Again, they've produced, well, no goals in the last game, one goal against Chicago, and then I think they were, what, shut out again. So they have the tools, but the guys that they put in place that are supposed to get the job done, not yet. Not yet. You have a couple doing okay, but it's not, the wealth isn't spreading, that's for sure. Back to you, Bam. What are you thinking for these guys? How are they going to have to adjust to find themselves? And do you think they're going to at this point? I mean, we've played a few games already.
Looking at how they play at home, if we don't come away with the 3 points, we're very disappointed. They've won 1 out of 8 games at home this season.
It's weird.
That
it's
really weird. Home record is horrendous. All we have to do is keep doing what we have been doing, and we should be fine. You know, we're all firing. We've got players coming back from international duty that have been scoring over there. So keep that momentum going. It's the main thing we have to do.
Right. The other thing we do have to mention is they do have Pedro Galiz in goal. Very good goalkeeper. Can be spectacular at times. Can do some crazy stuff too and make some mistakes. But for the most part, pretty darn good goalkeeper. And if we aren't careful with what we do and how we approach this game, we can make him look like a superstar. So we do have to be mindful of that. Is you better be mindful of your shots. You better be careful of what you're going to do, because he will, if you give him the easy ones, he's going to take care of you. Like, I don't think you're going to get much out of that. So be careful. Of course, leaves it to us and seeing how we approached the last few games. And I'm going to look back even to Atlanta and the way we approached that game to think, okay, you know, on the road, are we going to stick with what we know? Are we going to get funky with it? I'm going to go to you, Tony, first. It looks like the 4-3-3 is back, especially with certain players getting healthy again. I think the midfield is the conversation. Who do you think is going to feature in the midfield for this game, and are we sticking with the three?
And I think we're sticking with the three, let's be honest. Like, with good enough rest like how we've had, players have had time to relax, you know, heal some wounds that they may have had. So it was just, I think you start with our strongest three, which of course I would say Ilie, apologies, Tillman, and Atuesta.
There we are. And of course, up top, I don't think anybody's going to be shocked by this, right? Bogus, Boanga, Olvera. Bam, no changes there?
No changes. Why change something that's working right now? That's the main thing.
Right. Right. So no shock there. Makes it the harder question. Eris is like, you had to throw the defense at me. I did. Okay. Lloris is in goal. No question. The guy's found himself too, guys. Let's be honest. Lloris's performance these last few games is a big reason why we're looking right. Right. He's way more comfortable in the moment. He's had some big saves. Good on him. Right. He's looking like how he should look. Now, back line. Is it gonna be 4? Or are they gonna do that 3 with the wing back setup? What do you think, Araceli?
I think it's gonna be the 4, because why change it?
Right. It was out of necessity last time. Now, bigger questions. Who are your center backs for this game?
Probably Long and, why am I blanking on his name?
Chanel?
It's gonna be, yeah, Chanel. There we go. It's past midnight.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
I'm with you on this one, too. I think Long and Chanel are the story as well. Chanel has turned into pretty much our strongest defender at this point, an organizer for the entire side. Just like, I mean, the leadership with him and Ilie is, dude, you can't go wrong with this. They're really out there. You can hear them. It's good. Now, outside back situation, I think Palencia is your right back. There's no question that's who's going to be there. That's who's going to feature. Who starts on the left? That's the harder question. I'll go back to you, Tony. Who's your left back, Campos or Hollingshead, for this one?
Fuck. Excuse me, French. Family friendly. Yeah, family friendly. Campos.
Campos. Ooh, building the momentum on the road. All right. Bam.
Campos.
Ooh, two votes for Campos. Araceli.
My gut is telling me Hollinshead, but I'm going with Campos.
I'll be that guy. It's going to be Hollinshead. I'm like, what? Why? I think because he hasn't really started, right? He's had some things going on. I think they're going to go looking at what they're going to do with their overload on that side. They're going to go with Hollinshead because he's a little more scrappy and experienced for games like this on the road. And we want a result on the road. So I think we'll go with the experience. And then if we tire these guys out, I mean, trust me, they're both going to play at some point in this game. Then Campos comes into the game. I think that's what's going to happen. These guys are going for Campos. We shall see. Now, approach to the game. We've seen two different attitudes from the squad, I'd say, on the road. One has been just hold it and counter, hold it and counter, hold it and counter. And then we've seen games where they're like, no, let's dictate play for a time. Are we going to see that team that sets back, looking for transition, breaks on transition? Are we going to see more dynamic approach? Bam, to you first. What do you think they're going to look like?
I think we're going to be dynamic and just throw it at them. We're going to attack. That's what we're going to do.
We've got chemistry right now, right? We got flow. Don't screw it up, right?
100%. That's what we got to do at the moment. I've got to make a move because I've got an appointment to head to. So I'm going to peace out, everyone.
You got it, sir.
Stay safe this weekend. Be good. Happy birthday to Joseph's daughter for Friday.
Yep.
And I'll see you all guys next time.
Thank you, sir. Safe travels yet again. We will see you soon. All right. Of course, Bam always staying golden, doing what he's got to do. I throw it back to you guys. Same old, or big changes? Araceli.
I like to see them be more dynamic, get control of the game early on, especially if Orlando were to play Jacqueline or Yutaro.
They have to, right? I think they're going to do something. They have to experiment more than we do at this point, but if we've got flow, I mean, don't mess it up, right? I'm with you. I agree. Tony, I think you agree as well. So that's what we're looking at. We want to see more dynamic play from these guys, a little more possession. And yes, of course, if those guys are going to go all out on us, then yeah, absorb and kill. That's what we do. And get the breaks. Again, if they're going with three center backs, that means they're committing their outside backs to wing play, and they're going to be out of position a lot if they're really coming at us. And so you can catch those guys. It's good stuff. Good opportunity for us to get another win on the road. Again, they got to follow through. That's going to be the big story. All right. On that note, we've hit our hour mark. You know what that means? We're going to be closing this bad boy down and getting ready to go to those watch parties, do our thing, and get ready for a lovely weekend. And, of course, kicking off the Euros on Friday. So there you go. And for me, celebrating a birthday. So thank you, Bam, for that. All right. Leads us to this, our final comments of the day. Tony, I'm going to pick on you first, sir. Final comments.
Final comment is just pretty much, you know, have fun at the watch party. Get some time in with friends, of course. Besides being at Pride Month, it's also Men's Mental Health Awareness Month as well. It's, again, something that we sometimes gets overlooked in all the festivities of what is Pride. Of course, Pride is very Pride Month is very important to just for everything, but of course we also can't forget that, you know, with that, especially, you know, a lot of men, it's hard for them to talk about what they're going through, how it is. So again, just have a chat in general, just have a chat with anybody, make sure they're doing okay, hang out, watch a game, you know, catch some Euros if you can. There's going to be on 24/7, 7 days a week for the Euros and Copa America, so catch a game with that, whatever you can. So, you know, it's okay not to be okay.
Thank you, sir. Well said. Araceli, your final thoughts.
My final thoughts are simple for this weekend. I'm just wishing everyone a safe and happy weekend, whether that's going to a watch party or if you're traveling for Father's Day weekend, whatever the case may be, hopefully getting some sleep, because as we've said already throughout this episode, There are a lot of tournaments coming up very soon with the Euros, Copa, Olympics. None of us are going to be sleeping for the next, 4 weeks? So enjoy this weekend and just be safe and happy.
There we go. Which brings it to me. First and foremost, I'll tell you guys, we missed you for these last few weeks. We're happy to be back, of course. We're looking forward to next week again, doing what we do best. Hopefully talking about another win with all of you. On that note, again, enjoy these tournaments. Summertime's beautiful for this. Get out there. Get to some Copa America games if you can. Of course, get out there to support the boys in black and gold. But to support your friends as well, and especially your family. Essential, right? The summer months, yeah, don't avoid that. Get into it. Talk to them. Keep communication going. And yeah, ultimately that's what we do. Also sending love to my grandfather. He had a bit of a scare this week. Should be getting out of the hospital hopefully very, very soon. So if you're listening, we love you. And yes, hope to see you out of there very, very soon. And of course, happy birthday to my daughter on Friday. So that note, final word, Tony.
Stay golden, Los Angeles.
Araceli.
Stay golden.
And from me to all of you, stay golden, Los Angeles.
Thank you for listening to the Heart of LAFC. Make sure to leave us a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher. Shoulder to shoulder, the black and gold is taking over.